This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 15 featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Jose Baez. Show. All right, real quick, here's the deal with this. Before we record the show proper, we usually do a little pre-show between 45 minutes to an hour with the guest, just me and Matt warming them up, trying to figure out the rhythm, what we're going to talk about, all that. Sometimes the pre-show contains some great material that we end up not getting to during the actual show, and such was the case with Jose Baez here. So now, for your enjoyment, a bit of the pre-show with Jabson.
Somebody's got to learn how to play the ukulele.
We don't have time. Who has time for that? Bosco and Honey can do that for us.
There you go.
Hey!
I was thinking you were going to say one of them can play the ukulele.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to come up to Seattle and play the ukulele for me.
Well, if they had like a ukulele, like a rock band, or like ukulele hero, you know, then you could do like the push button, you know.
Best of Tiny Tim.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what else would you have, really?
Exactly.
Best of Tiny Tim and like the sound
development.
So it'd be like one of those Beatles rock bands. It'd be Tiny Tim rock band.
Or no,
finally.
Matt makes a good point. The Arrested Development score would be in there. Or like the score to early Looney Tunes. Yeah. I think that's about it. Or that
that's a license to print money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they make those still, licenses to print money?
Not in this economy.
Well, when they issued me mine,
we would really need it.
Well, it was a license to print money, and it was like a bikini inspector. Like I got my certification for both at the same time, but it's lapsed, right. And so I don't know like if I can renew them both or if I have to do it separately now.
I don't know. You know, I don't have a car. I often will take a mustache ride up to get my bikini.
Well, see, unfortunately, you must have gotten that. You must have gotten the mustache ride license like in the late 90s, I'm guessing, because now that goes through Homeland Security, and it's a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
The red tape involved in renewing a mustache ride license is just not worth it at all.
And I think it's up to $10, right, for one ride.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, you can charge. I'm pretty sure you can charge whatever you want. I'm pretty sure that's a license to charge money. Which is not as useful as a license to print money. But.
Still, if you upgrade to Class 3, then you can ride a handlebar mustache.
Oh, that's true.
I could never do that.
You can't be a greenhorn with a handlebar mustache, though. You got to be an old-timer for one of them. Going a little shake hands with danger there, sorry.
Or a serial villain.
Oh, that's true. Tie you to the railroad tracks.
Tying people to a railroad or a plane or something.
You know, we got to... And I'm avoiding the Simpsons reference here, but we do have a monorail in Seattle now that actually goes from the airport to downtown.
I've seen that monorail. It looked really unhealthy.
It does. But I'm just trying to, like, how are you going to tie someone to that? That's my first thought was, think of all the old-timey villains you're putting out of business with the monorail.
They're just standing around it, twiddling their mustaches and looking upset.
Taking off their top hats and, like, punching through them.
I don't know if I'd like to have a monorail wherever I live, because I think every time I see it, I think of the monorail song.
Yeah, exactly. I do. It's
which is
difficult.
Awesome, but,
yeah,
you know, kind of go about your life. Out. I mean, you're singing monorail.
I was at the airport, I guess going back to my horrible family. Actually, my family's fine. It's where they live is horrible. But and they had the signs up, like, monorail coming 2009. Like, it just opened. And this is the cool. I usually don't like people's kids and their filth.
Yeah.
But this dad had his kids, two little cute kids, trained. Mm. And he's like, he looks up at the sign. He says, oh, look what they got planned for 2009. And he turns to his one son quickly and says, what's it called? And the kid goes, monorail. And then he turns to the other kid and says, what did I say? And the other kid goes, monorail. And it wasn't like, it wasn't for an audience. It wasn't rehearsed or anything. It was just behind me in line. And they were just doing this bit. I'm like,
that is a reason to have kids.
Yes.
That.
You can train them to, like, yeah.
Panel discussion.
Hi, hello, yes. This is show number 2 of Your Mic Sucks. Our guest, of course, Matt is here.
Hey, hey.
And our guest is Jose Baez. You may know him as Jabson. That is, in fact, how I know him.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello to the people, Jabson.
Hello. This is my voice.
All right. Well, good interview. Thanks for that.
Perfectly, yes. All right, coming up next.
I should mention we are recording three of these in the same day. We are just me and Matt sitting in a hotel room just outside Vancouver, just over the Canadian border. Not gay at all.
Nope.
Not even the least bit gay.
Certainly not when we chased Amanda away so that she couldn't be here with us.
Yes, I had a hotel room with my intended.
The sending your girlfriend away and then holding up in a hotel room.
Yeah, well, I was telling Matt, like, I walked by the desk person, you know, with a pretty girl, and I walked back with Matt. And I was very thankful that it was a different person at the desk when I came back.
Someone got the low end on that trade.
Oh, boy. But, no, we are doing these. It is rare that Matt and I happen to be in the same place at the same time, and we had a few people that we really wanted on, and they have some trouble with Skype, and so it's easier for us to do this. Just a bit of boring personal technical crap here, but we actually took Jabson on his word. He says his mic sucks. We don't know. For all we know, he's like a professional radio guy. Like with
that
studio.
Actually, I couldn't use my professional equipment without getting my station manager.
Yeah. So you don't want to mess with all that program managers.
The only thing we need is to mess with the FCC too.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck the FCC. Yeah. All right. So, Jabson, of course, I say of course, but then again, most of you listening probably know him because...
That's how this works.
Exactly. We've known him for years on the message board where we all sort of met. Mm. Jabson is a big gamer. This is actually kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. You do sort of play all the games that the kids do enjoy.
All the kids' games.
Yeah, by which I mean board games.
Yes, exactly.
Big strategic.
Oh, right, right. I love Hungry Hungry Hippos. It's great.
And even the classics like Backgammon and like...
Clue.
Yeah.
I don't know. Backgammon is ruined.
Monopoly. I don't know
what that even means.
No, me neither. I was trying to go on one of those things where we list a bunch of funny things and I lost
those,
it at number
it's one
two.
One of those Monopolies, it's like, you know, you can get like Star Wars Monopoly or like...
I'm sorry, what Monopoly?
You can get... Oh, yeah, shit. Star Trek Monopoly.
All right.
See what I did there? That was the save.
Well, yes, I will edit that.
You can also get Simpsons Monopoly. I can...
It's funny, you're talking, but I don't hear words. You can get Monopoly, is what I heard.
Monopoly.
Oh, God. Well, I'm trying to recreate what it's like I'm talking through my other mic. So you guys get the full experience.
Oh, so the flonk experience.
The flonk experience.
Exactly.
Flonking.
Yes.
Don't say flonk experience.
Stop portmanteauing. Calm down, man. We need to talk him down. He can do this. No, actually, Jabson has, he is probably of the people I know, and I talk to a lot of people online that play, you know, 360 games, PS3 games, Wii games, PC games. As far as I know, you play all of them all the time. I don't know how you have time to have friends and have a job and do things, but you've managed to do those things as well. You just, as far as I can tell, you play every game there is, and... If ever I have a question about what's going on or what's good or what's supposed to be good, you're all over that stuff. And, you know, everybody has one of them in their circle of friends, and you're the one I got. Mm-hmm. So, to me, this is a good topic for you to talk about. So, instead, let's talk about something else entirely. No, seriously.
Interpretive dance.
You do own all the systems, correct?
I do, yeah. PS3, 360, Wii, DS. And I even have the PSP for some reason. I really use it.
Wow.
Has that fallen? Like, is that not a... Like, I'm so out of the loop, I don't know that that's not a viable platform. Is it not?
Apparently it's a very viable platform for, like... I mean, people buy it, but then they just pirate stuff. It's, I guess, very easy to pirate stuff.
I don't know
any about that stuff.
I mean, if you want to play, like, Metal Gear, it's really your only option.
What is... Now, see, I'm so... I'm playing the role here of sort of the outsider, kind of like when we had Pat Loik on and we were talking about comics. Mm-hmm. I just pretend I'm the clueless audience member. What is Metal Gear?
Oh, Metal Gear is this awesome sort of spy espionage game that sort of bridges the gap between incredibly realistic military action and ridiculous superhero.
I guess it's realistic military action if you think, like, Pac-Man is a military...
Well, I guess that's true.
because it's very much just because you you basically are in a area that's like a maze. Usually it's like some base or something, and basically you just have to stay away from the guards.
The ghosts?
Hide, you run away. The guards are basically the ghosts. They have a cone of, except they have a cone. Imagine if the ghosts had a cone of vision and you had to hide in boxes from them. That's kind of weird.
Nice.
But I love
well, it's gotten more complex as the series has gone on, but that's basically how it started.
Wow. But I love how it takes itself so incredibly serious while being incredibly ridiculous.
Actually,
yeah, it is.
Oh,
you can't get more ridiculous than it, yeah.
That kind of brings me to the actual topic I did want to discuss, which is, and this is one of those easy comedic things, but it's also something I don't hear a lot of people talking about, which is the fucking bizarre logic of video games. And I'm going to go back because I'm a little older than you guys because I'm ancient. No, actually, Jepson's fairly close to my age. You're
yeah, I'm
30, right? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, I'm 29.
Yeah, of course you are. Superman is 29 forever, and so is Jepson.
Forever, yes.
No, but you remember like the games of the early 80s, and I'm sure Matt does too, actually.
Oh, yes.
When I was a kid, I just, the logic you were expected to accept, the things that were presented to you and you were just meant to take them as given. And I bring this up like Pac-Man. When I was, I don't know, Pac-Man came out in 81, 82, mm-hmm. so I would have been 6, 7, something like that. I could not wrap my head around, what is this? What is this yellow thing? What am I, like, what? And there was no, the game wasn't going to tell you. And then there was that picture of the thing on the side of the cabinet with the feet.
You mentioned that. I don't even really remember, because I remember the cabinet.
I'll definitely put that in the show notes, the Pac-Man art. But there's a picture of what's, I guess, supposed to be Pac-Man, this yellow creature with big eyes. And he's got these huge feet.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got no arms, and he's got no, like, he's just feet, like, flopping around on his feet. And, like, is that supposed to be what I am? But since it's 2D, I can't see the feet.
Like,
I don't know.
It's a horrible monster. Just,
yeah.
Like,
I don't know. There's, I mean, I don't want to steal this, but there's a great, like, I don't know if you know the website Threadless.
I have not.
They do T-shirts. They have one with the spaceman, and the helmet kind of looks like a Pac-Man. He's in yellow,
mm-hmm.
and there's all these pills scattered everywhere, and he's being haunted by ghosts.
And
I just like to imagine
that's
what's actually going on in Pac-Man.
It's drawn in that great, like, late 60s, sort of 2001-ish, with a little bit of that sort of weird tiki feel to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, actually, Amanda showed me that and did not realize it was a Pac-Man reference. I do remember that. She said, isn't this a great, weird, stylized astronaut thing with dead astronauts? And I'm like, you know that's Pac-Man, right? She's like, what?
Wait a minute.
She just thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
But really, since I was a kid, and I got a lot of mileage out of this when I used to write Sarcastic Voyage as a little column years ago, I've been obsessed with all these things. Like, when you watch a cartoon, they usually give you a little theme song. They give you the premise. They tell you what's what.
Yeah.
When you play a video game, you're just dropped in. I mean, now you got cutscenes, you got whatever, but there's certainly a number of games that just drop you in and say, here's the world.
Yep.
And like, here, you're a carpenter with a hammer that's supposed to defeat a
monkey. Yeah, we definitely
monkey.
Lose that with the hyper-realism. I mean, I remember Mario Brothers. I don't even remember looking at the instruction manual. It was just, I heard he was a plumber from some magazine, probably.
Uh-huh.
And I'm jumping on these brown things. I don't know why.
Well, see, my
and I'm collecting coins.
My first memory of Mario was actually the Mario Brothers, like the you know, the original, not Super Mario Brothers,
right?
Which is still my favorite arcade game ever. Like, I love it. Was, I think, the first two player simultaneous, or one of the first, maybe Joust was. But you're in the pipes, and there's all this crap floating around in the pipes, and you have to stop it. And so I accepted that he was a plumber. I knew that much. But beyond that, why are there crabs here? Why do I have to? Yeah.
You never heard of the sewer-going crab?
Sewer crab.
Is that like the roof goat?
But yeah, exactly. They dwell in the sewer.
The pipe
sewers
crab.
Of Canada.
So he's a Canadian plumber.
Wielding pincers.
He's a Canadian-Italian plumber.
Yes, from Brooklyn.
Right, played by Bob Hoskins.
From Brooklyn.
Played by noted British character actor Bob Hoskins.
Why? I don't know. I like that Nintendo carries on that tradition, because he's supposed to be this Brooklyn plumber, mm-hmm. and he's got this super thick, stereotypical Italian accent
for some reason.
Don't understand that.
I miss Mario sounding like you know, a human being.
Well, we've talked about that. We've talked about how you think of him as Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah, exactly.
You think of him as that grunt, you know, swinging your arms and such, you know. But
I've got to go save the princess.
But even in that actual cartoon, he didn't, like, did he do the voice for that? Did Lou Albano do the voice
for
that?
No, I've wondered that a long time.
I remembered him having.
And I just can't be arsed to look it up.
Yeah. Did you just say can't be arsed?
Yeah.
Is that acceptable up here? Can you just
apparently
throw that? All right.
I don't know if that's acceptable unless you're English.
Well, Canadians, and this isn't, like, I hate doing the standard, oh, Canada's just like.
Canada be different from
yeah,
America.
Yeah. But really, there are vestiges of Englishness that we don't have. They are slightly British in some ways. And
ridiculous you.
Yeah, they have the superfluous U's, the color and flavor and all that. Matt wouldn't know that because he can't spell his own name.
Exactly.
But
why are all these U's at the end? It's Canadian spelling.
Yeah, that's his excuse for anything
he
can't spell. But no, there are strange, like, I'm up here and I thought for a little while about doing, you know, a little material on things are different, you know, things be different on this side of the board. They're really not. But there are occasionally weird signs that they are a little more British than we are. Like, they held on to the British a little more than we did. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool, because I've never been to the UK. I'd love to go, but you get a little flavor of that here. And I can't think of any good examples, but obviously you can't be arsed.
Well, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of just my fondness of British slang.
Well, sure, and I think a lot of us came up on the Monty Python and Red Dwarf and all. Except Jabson, he's probably sick of everyone quoting it, because that's his shtick, right? I mean, he hates it when...
What was my shtick?
I don't remember.
Oh, gosh, I didn't hear that, sorry.
No,
I drifted off.
Fine. No, we were both talking.
I was just off trying to think of examples of Canadian Britishness, and I've never even been to Canada.
Yeah, no, it's gone.
The Queen is on our money, that's one.
Yeah, and that's weird, because you guys do have...
How many giant clocks does Canada have? Incredibly giant clocks.
Oh, six.
Six.
I've never seen any.
That's like super
hidden.
Oh, they're hidden clocks. Mm. So, all right then.
We need them for when the apocalypse comes and we have to be able to tell time from far away.
Fair enough. All right, that was
the apocalypse is about being pushed far away.
We're all going to lose our... Well, we're all going to break our glasses.
What time is it?
Yeah, we're all going to break our glasses and not be able to read the books.
I can't read my digital watch.
Which I think are a pretty neat idea. But the video game...
I believe they call them Astro Watches.
the video game...
Calculators built right in.
What?
With calculators built in.
Yes! Those were a big deal when I was a kid, damn it. And then I had a little Transformer one. It wasn't a Transformer brand one, but it came off and turned into a little robot.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that guy in the cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Turn into somebody's watch.
Look out, it's Megatron.
Didn't they have a guy who was a cassette tape? I mean, that's not really that
ridiculous. A bunch of cassette tapes, yeah, that fit in.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, they were spies, though. Like, they would sneak in places disguised as tapes, which were just laying all over the place in the 80s. You guys might not remember this, being as young as you are. They were just tapes.
But I remember cassette tapes were laying around in places where you would want to send in a spy, and not in some guy's bedroom.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But again, I've talked about this a lot, and I don't want to.
I know.
But no, as far as the video game logic thing goes, that is my early on my memory just of being asked to accept these things that I just did not understand. Joust. You're a guy on a ostrich, a flightless bird that flies, and you got to strafe these buzzard guys to make them lay eggs. What? And I'm sort of stuck in the 80s as far as everything goes, as far as TV and movies and music and video games. But I'm sure, Jabson, you can tell me that games, to this day, there's a certain flavor of game that is still very much just completely mystifying. You pick it up and
it's actually kind of, it's fallen a bit by the wayside with the, you know, the more realistic graphics, because a lot of that stuff was just to cover up. Like, the reason Mario's a plumber, if you want the boring reason, is because they had to know how to show him running, so they gave him suspenders. And
only plumbers were suspenders.
Exactly.
right, but you know what I'm saying. And then they needed a mouth, so that was the mustache.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And actually, that's, of course, you guys being comic fans, I'm sure, know why Superman has a cape, because they wanted to show motion when he's in the air. They wanted to show the cape blowing in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And of course, now every superhero ever has a cape.
Well, like we were saying before, if you have a cape, you can fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joust, I can't explain, though.
What's that?
Joust, I can't explain.
No, Joust just makes
I think it's the story of the colonization of Australia.
I buy that, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But Pac-Man, really.
Red skies of Australia were just packed with knights on flightless flying ostriches.
And buzzards.
And buzzards.
Evil, like, yeah. But really, the Pac-Man thing really bothered me for a long time, and I finally just had to give it up. Because, like, what is, like, and the only answer I could come up with, well, it's Japanese. That's the explanation.
See, clearly this is
what's
different.
Pac-Man Japanese?
Yes. Well, it started in Japan.
Yeah,
he was called Pac-Man.
I don't remember. That may be true. I don't know.
They had to change it when it came over here because of the obvious graffiti that would happen on the...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Fuck, man.
Thanks for that. Yeah. I might not have picked up on that otherwise.
But, like, this is the difference between you and me because when I played Pac-Man the first time, it's just like, oh, yeah, he's a yellow guy. He eats dots. He gets chased by ghosts.
But really, and I hate to keep saying, I'm the old guy, you're the young guy. But in this case, I think it is the difference between coming up 9 years later than me. You've been sort of indoctrinated to this stuff. You grew up on, like, the Power Rangers, which makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah,
we're too old for the Power Rangers. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like Matt a little bit in that I don't think I thought about it. And, like, at some point I was like, what the hell are these things? But I'm like, oh, it makes total sense why I'm jumping on a turtle. Mm-hmm. I'm a plumber.
Yeah.
And I got a favorite princess.
Of course. No, and it's not like I didn't enjoy it by any means. It's just maybe it's like the comedic sense. Like, I'm not a science guy at all. I don't. Like, I'm not a smart guy when it comes to analysis, but I do have that spark of what does this mean? And then it kind of stops there. And I always want to know what it is. And then I get bored and give up and wander away. But that's that initial wondering is still there. Like, if I'm expected to do a task, I kind of want to know why I'm doing the task.
Why are those muffin men cross-dressing as princesses in castles and then tearing off their clothes? The princess in another castle. Didn't they look like the princess at first?
No, because it was always like just the mushroom dude when you got in there. Just like, sorry, Mario, I'm just in another castle.
Well, see, there were different
I think that's
versions.
My fan fiction. I'm sorry, I'm talking about my fan fiction. I apologize.
Well, no, right before we started, I asked if you had anything to promote, like any kind of website or anything. If
you
have a link to
that's for me.
I got you. Gotcha. Well, but speaking of Mario, we were talking. You and I, Jebson, were talking about. You actually explained to me what a tanuki was, which I did not know before. Apparently this is common knowledge. Everyone else is like, oh, yeah, of course. But I did not know. And for the listeners, for maybe people who don't know, please tell them what you told me.
It's like a raccoon, but it's not actually part of the raccoon family. It's a Japanese raccoon dog with giant balls.
Now, is it a mythical creature or does it actually exist?
See, I'm not actually sure about that. I believe the giant ball thing might be mythical, and the actual animal might exist, and it doesn't have gigantic, humongous
Now, when you say humongous, really, like, I've seen a couple of depictions, and they were cartoons, but the testicles, like, each one of them is roughly the size of the body.
Right.
That seems not good.
And from an evolutionary standpoint, it doesn't seem practical. I mean, yeah, sure, you're going to breed a lot, but really, are you going to have the leverage to even manage that?
How can you escape predators if you're dragging, like, testicles twice the size of you behind you?
It's true. Or maybe one of them is...
Maybe they're really badass, and that's where the, like, phrase, look at the balls on that guy or something came from.
I guess.
That could be. That certainly could be.
From feudal Japan.
And, of course, in nature, the tanuki could turn into a statue to escape predators.
Of course.
Right.
Which is the very best way to avoid a predator, is to turn into a statue.
Well, it's because you can phase through things, like most statues. I mean...
Sure. All right. But really, the logic of Mario, like the picking up a raccoon suit makes you fly.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Yeah, I love the raccoon suit. You can fly, and it's a leaf that turns you into a raccoon, right. So you can fly.
But then there's also the suit, the raccoon suit, or is that the tanuki?
That's the tanuki.
Okay.
That's the tanuki.
I don't
remember
that
what
word
you picked up.
Made
that,
it over here.
Just that.
Like, when Mario 3 came out.
Oh, you think they would have Americanized it?
Well, and... I read the manual when it came out, and it's just like tanuki. So I'm like, what the fuck is a tanuki?
Yeah.
It's a raccoon. Look at it. Look how raccoonish he looks.
And that was the thing with that game, is like, I thought they were the same suit, and I didn't realize they had different
properties. Like ears on the hat. And
yeah, it's slightly different, but especially in those sort of 8-bit graphics, it's not really easy to tell the distinction.
Oh. But... I don't know, Mario 3 was pretty awesome with that. Because one was the ears, and the other one was a full-blown Mario furry.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And actually, Matt, you have, of course, you said the magic word. You said furry, so we got to turn to Matt now. No, really, though. Did
you ever draw you as a tanuki?
No, that one never happened.
And I don't even mean your the girlfriend that we've mentioned many times, but you have also mentioned separately. Well, you've mentioned separately that you know people in that community. Are you aware of any Mario Tanuki type?
Not that I know of. I'm sure it happens. Because
no doubt.
Infinite universe.
And you gotta, and also just not even Mario, just Tanuki. I mean, you've got an animal with giant balls.
Oh there's no way
that's green furry.
Yeah,
but again, the practicality. If you're going to put on that suit, how are you going to have sex in that?
Mm. They dry hump.
Okay, but
no, right, it's like that. When people dress up as a horse, there's actually a different guy in each ball.
Ah,
guy in the suit. Yeah.
That makes sense. See, this is why we had you on. You know these things.
I just picture some guy crouched down in a testicle costume that Steve's turn to shine.
And they all have to coordinate.
There's a left ball, a right ball, and then, of course, the sneaky guy. Who feels left out because he's not a ball.
That's fine, you guys. I'll just wait for you to finish.
I'm picturing the coordination of walking because, the actual Tanuki has to walk, move his legs. The other guys, I imagine, are in some kind of hamster ball situation where they have to run in place and keep them.
Exactly.
But they have to make sure they're both running at the same rate,
exactly.
Spinning
left,
clockwise.
Right, it's
serious business. Being a Tanuki ball.
Really, no kidding.
Yeah, if you're gonna do Tanuki furry sex, you've really got to have a plan.
It's true.
That's not one of those things you just go, I'm going to dress up as a Tanuki and
no,
fuck
you
people.
You really have
died doing that badly.
That's true. And of course, there's the time-honored Japanese theater tradition of Tanuki Kabuki. Yeah, that deserved that reception. I apologize for that.
Wow. That actually physically hurt me.
You're fired.
I deserve that. That's fine. But really, I mean, you do mention, yes, games are getting more sort of hyper-realistic, but you say that. I mean, that's a general statement. You know there are cartoony games. You know, I mean, games are broader now than probably they've ever been, I would say. Is that correct? Like,
oh, definitely, yeah. With the growth of, like, digital distribution and stuff.
Right, right.
That's where you're starting to see weird stuff because people don't want to put big money unless they know they can get a bunch of money, a bunch of money back. So the big games are like the let's shoot everything and kill people game. Mm-hmm. And then some smaller, like, platformer thing comes out and it's awesome and it's like this own little thing.
Well, and like...
Like you get something like... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to use examples like there's games that came out like Braid, which is like this... It's a platform where you're like this dude in a suit. It's very Mario style and Control and you manipulate time and you're also jumping on basically a lot of rip-offs straight off of Mario Brothers, like those Goomba type things.
Well, but really, if you're making a platform game,
yeah,
especially like a cartoony platform game, and I don't know, is this game cartoony?
Oh, yeah.
You can't not... It's like, it would be like making a suspense movie and not having something like Hitchcock in it. You just... Mario was the first greatest...
Well, in this case, though, in Braid, you actually go to a castle and it says the princess is somewhere else and it's a dinosaur,
well, it's
a talking dinosaur. So that's a little extra.
Fair enough.
Doesn't Braid... I mean, I haven't played it yet, but, you know, I want to. But, like, isn't that sort of the plot of Braid? Like, it works around being a bit, like... It has, like, a lot of video, like, early video...
Right, right. What it does is it kind of... I mean, I don't want to... I mean, spoilers for a video game. implies the guy is kind of a stalker. Like, he's not exactly the hero when you read the... But, yeah, it's the setup is very Mario Brothers, you know. He's on his way to save the princess. But then as you pay attention, it's like, oh, okay, it might be kind of a creep.
Well, and see, again, it's like making a... You know, I mean, you get the first guys who make, like, superhero comics. And now you can make, like, you know, something like Watchmen or something like this or something. I mean, you could... It's... Just because Mario came out first and sort of set the standard, you don't necessarily have to be ripping it off. It sounds like this is more of an homage than a
yeah, it is.
A rip-off.
Yeah, it's a thing, like a lot of things, right? I mean, you take the original thing and you build on it.
Sure. And it seems to me like that industry is very much becoming like every other medium, which is when one big hit happens, suddenly everyone wants to run out and make their own version of it. Like, you know, you make a doctor show and everyone wants a million doctor shows. Or you make a game like GTA and then everyone wants to make their own GTA.
Yeah.
But the difference with games is because I mean, again, you guys are way more into this stuff than I am. But from the outside, it appears like it moves so much more quickly. And every step is, even if it's a kind of a copy, it's usually a little bit of evolution or a little bit of a twist.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's trying to do the exact same thing, only better.
Right, but gaming people in particular seem to be less into that marketing mindset of let's get another one of these out, and more like let's get one of these up with our spin on it.
I definitely think there's still a lot of that. I mean, you, especially with like the shooter franchises, there's like Call of Duty, they pump one out every year, pretty much.
But those are sequels to the same game. That's not exactly the same. Like, that's not really a ripoff so much as just more of the same.
That is true.
And I'm not, you know, are they putting out exactly the same game just with different backgrounds, or are they trying to improve it a little, or?
I think there is some of that.
I haven't given that much.
Because again, from the outside, it appears to me like it looked like, for instance, Grand Theft Auto is really kind of the only one that I'm slightly familiar with. I played that a bit when I had a PS2. Mm-hmm. And it looked like they did not want to officially come out and say, this is Grand Theft Auto 4, until they had something fascinating and totally different to show you. So they just put it in different settings instead. Is that correct?
Yeah, they did the where they were like expansions like Vice City and in different eras
and
like
San
90s.
Andreas. Mm. Yeah, but it's basically the same game in a new environment.
The thing is though, I played GTA 4 and I mean it had like a lot of sort of things that they put in, but it really just felt like a lot more of the same. And actually, it felt almost like backtracking to GTA 3.
Well, yeah, people, one of the big complaints about GTA 4, and I don't want to get too, like, video game podcast, not the logic thing, was that it was too realistic. Like, it didn't have the crazy stuff from San Andreas, like jetpacks and...
Well, and that's probably, I would imagine that part of that is the jump to the current generation of gaming systems, where you can show this stuff sort of hyper-realistically, and I'm sure the inclination is to make it less cartoony and more real. But yeah, you're
that,
right.
And also, yeah, you were mentioning how people want to push the like envelope and stuff. Mm-hmm. One of those people, some of those people are the rock star guys. They clearly look at games as like something of an art form. So they were, in this case, they really tried to build a sympathetic character, and actually tell the story. And the story kind of overtook the game at some point, Although they kind of lose this sympathetic character when. You know, you're shooting a whole bunch of cops.
Yeah.
And kind of loses it at that point. I mean, like, about halfway through the game, you're like, wait, this guy's still a fucking sociopath.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite part about San Andreas, was, like, your guy is framed for killing a cop, and then in the course of the game, he kills millions of cops.
Right, exactly.
But he didn't kill that one cop.
Right, no, absolutely. Totally, totally innocent. But it seems to me that It's a unique medium, and I'm not saying anything anyone hasn't said a million times before, but it is kind of a unique medium in that, unlike making a movie sequel, where, with some rare exceptions, you know it's like a diminishing returns thing. You know part two is going to be not as good as part one, part three is going to be even less good, and if they go past three, you're probably done. There are exceptions, but overall, you know... Whereas with video games, usually, and I'm sure you guys have examples in the other direction again, but it seems to me the trend is, okay, we hit on a good idea, now we have better technology, we've learned from our mistakes, let's make it better. Yeah. And it seems like each installment is a little better. Like Mario 1 was great. Mario 2 doesn't count because it was a repackaging of a different game, but Mario 3 was
awesome. It was still great, though.
It was a good game, I'm not saying that, but I don't count it as part of the evolution, because it wasn't designed from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Although, fun fact, Mario 2, the real one,
Well, that was
they've released it here as the lost level.
Oh, yeah, that game was garbage.
I've played that. It's just Mario 1 with harder levels.
Yeah.
Like there's
ridiculous
Badly hard. Because there's good hard games, like the Mega Man series, and then games that just cheat and you want
to. Right. But when they got to Mario 3, they really, it seems like they went back to the drawing board. They said, here's what worked, here's what didn't. Mm. Let's make it awesome and let's push the limits of what this little 8-bit console can do. And they made arguably one of the best video games ever.
Yeah.
And every installment of Mario after that, more or less, has been like... And I say Mario because it's the ground-level accessible game, the one that I've played. I mean, I played Mario Galaxy. I'm excited for the new 2D one and for the new Mario Galaxy.
And I was really surprised Mario Galaxy 2, actually, for the first time, really, seems... Well, no, because there's the NES ones. But Mario 3 even seemed different from the first Mario. Mario Galaxy seems like the first one that's like a full-blown direct sequel.
But I've also been reading that it's not just a retread. What the guy who makes those games, I can't remember his name off the top.
Miyamoto?
Yeah, that's him. He said, I don't just want to make more levels. I want to bring all the crazy ideas, bring all the different, they're going to like play with the physics some more and give you new suits and new guys to fight. Like they really want to keep pushing that. And that's kind of the point I'm making is like, usually in a game series, like a successful game series, every new game does something bigger and better and different.
Yeah.
It just seems like the complete opposite of, like, movies. Mm. And I think that's
Miyamoto is, like, a specific example. I mean, unfortunately, I'm trying to think of examples and I'm drawing a blank, but there is definitely a lot of times you mentioned how there were sequels to games, mm-hmm. but, like, and those don't, it kind of doesn't count, but it does count because the company that makes that game puts the resources behind that game. So,
oh, it's true. I mean,
when they're making the Call of Duty, the new one, they're not making an original IP.
They could be making a different World War II shooter or whatever.
But again, is Call of Duty, I don't know, and again, I don't know what the title is, but is two better than one? Like, do they add more functions and more stuff and improve the engine? I mean, or is it just, here's more of the same?
No, they do improve it. You're right. There are, like, additions and stuff. Or ads, as I was about to say.
I mean, like, you know, for better or for worse, it is, like, it's much more of an evolving medium. Like,
right.
Right, yeah.
We take what happened in one and we do it, we try to do it better and faster.
Yeah, I mean, it benefits from having a more direct, like, when a game has an online component, you hear directly from the fan base. Mm-hmm. Unlike a movie where it's, like, kind of this, they're separated in games. You can be like,
yeah, the Hollywood guys are up on a hill just like sending down their missives and you just have to take what they're sending you. Or
So when people are actually playing the game online and they can actually complain, bitch about a very specific thing, the developers can go, oh, that thing sucks. Let's take that out.
Right. Well, and also you can release a patch immediately that will fix, you know, a technical problem or whatever.
You can't release a patch. Oh, God. I was trying to think of to replace Nicolas Cage on Ghost Rider.
Oh, that would be awesome.
There's no patch for that.
Well, you know, I mean, Lucas...
But then I realize that's a bad example because that movie's terrible. Even
yeah. Lucas would like to do that, and I think I'm skirting the outskirts of a Star Wars reference.
He's actually changed that rule. He's released plenty of patches.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying he would like if everyone could do that. Like, he has come out and said that. Mm. He would like he does... it's not just him. He says, you know, why can't we just go back and fix our mistakes?
I mean, this is fluid. Casablanca is good, but how good would it be with Vin Diesel?
Some dewbacks in the background.
Okay, now that's a direct violation There's actually a bit in one of my favorite books where there's this little imagination of a future blockbuster, like Blockbuster Video, where a customer goes in and wants to Schwarzenegger up every movie that they have. And they have this technology where they can just insert Arnold Schwarzenegger in Rain Man or in...
They have that technology now. They inserted him into Terminator 4.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did.
I didn't see that, so I don't know. Didn't have time for Terminator 4, huh? Busy running California. But anyway, getting back to the... Actually, there is one thing I should mention. We were talking about Grand Theft Auto. I can't not mention this, Jabson. I'm sorry. You know you were on. You knew this would come up.
Yes.
When Jabson has played, what is it, Chinatown Wars on the DS?
Yeah, it's the DS game.
Let me set this up the way I heard it, just for context. He was talking about the microphone on the DS, picking up the sound of him whistling for Taxi.
Uh-huh.
And what he was complaining about is it's so difficult for it to pick up the right pitch and the right volume or whatever.
You can just breathe into the mic, it's true.
I didn't realize that.
Go ahead.
But it occurred to me, I had to pick it apart for a minute and realize what you were really complaining about. And I said, why are you taking a taxi in Grand Theft Auto? And then, of course, all of our Twitter friends just descended on that and give him such a hard time for it. And I did not really mean to start all that. But really, Jabson, why would you take a cab in the game that, right in the title, tells you you're supposed to steal a car?
Because sometimes the things are far away. I don't want to drive.
Getting from place to place.
I don't know.
Really boring.
It's a driving game.
The same thing in GTA 4, man.
Oh, all right.
You found out, you can take a taxi, just instantly get to the mission. Oh, fuck yeah. I don't want to spend like 15 minutes driving across fake New York.
But then why don't you also go hire a hitman to do all your shooting for you? And why don't you, like, you know what I mean?
Well, but see, the thing is, like, I want to get to the shoot the guy mission or, you know, drive from place to place. I want to be accomplishing things. I don't want to have to, you know, spend 15 minutes driving a car to the place where I get to play the part I want to do, you know?
All right, well, see, as the video game outsider, I'm not just going to harp on this. If you guys have a rational reason for this,
the thing is, as the games get bigger, and they have like three islands. Mm.
I remember this. I had the Godfather game for PS2, which actually should not have been good at all.
That should
have been terrible, and I actually quite enjoyed it. Like, they had, I'm sure you guys played it, had most of the cast. And
the original one, you said, Godfather?
Yeah, the first one.
I played it for a week.
They even had Brando in it, and they like it was quite good. I really enjoyed it. But there was a lot of, because they kind of set it up as real New York, there was a lot of driving from Long Island to New Jersey, and it took a really long time. So I can kind of see your point.
Same thing with GTA 4. Like, they spent a lot of time making Liberty City, you know.
Which is their stand-in for New York, right? Yeah.
And which is fine, except that, you know, I don't want to spend 15 minutes driving across town.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't want to do that every time I die, too. Like, that's another thing that GTA 4 did.
Oh, they sent you
like
back.
Like, you die, and then it's like, oh, you're back at your apartment where you saved last. So drive all the way across town again, start the mission again.
So isn't it, that's, I guess, and again, I know nothing about Warcraft either, except what South Park told me.
Yeah, but, I don't want to walk back.
It's like walk back from the graveyard, yeah.
I played Warcraft, and I wish I knew more about it.
I was actually just leading into...
when you die.
You are a big Warcraft, or you were a Warcraft guy. Are you still playing it, or are you still into it? Or?
No, I kind of, I'm almost don't... Like, I want to play it, and I might go back with this big... They're doing a big, like, expansion, cataclysm thing, event thing, mm-hmm. where they're changing the world. But I dropped because I was basically... You have to pay, like, $14.95 a month, right? Yeah.
Right.
I didn't play for 6 months or something, and I still was paying them. So I was basically just giving them my money.
Yeah.
He was like, here's a check for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just
take my money.
I actually did that for a while with Netflix for like a year. I was paying Netflix to keep the same four movies on top of my TV and not watch them. So I can definitely sympathize with you there. But
there you got movies.
What's that?
Well, I guess I was saying at least there you got a movie, but I guess technically I had the game. I could watch it.
No, I just wasn't watching these movies and returning them. I happened to get exactly four movies that I just was very ambivalent about, and every time I'd be like, okay, I don't want to watch this right now.
You know, I could be watching it as Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, exactly. I could watch one of these shows I've seen a million times already. but as far as Warcraft goes, most everyone I know that plays Warcraft for one reason or another seems to be backing away from it. And maybe it seems like those guys have been really good about figuring out what their fans want and trying to, you know, appease them. And maybe that's why they're doing this big thing now, is maybe they're seeing that trend.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's been around for a few years now. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing some sort of change of the world, like everything different.
This is the biggest thing they've ever done. They're actually, like, changing the landscape.
Which makes sense, because it has, you know, in terms of video games, it's been around for 1,000 years. Like, in the relative time of this very fast-moving industry, I'm amazed people are still playing this game.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, I did not resist the game because I thought it was bad, because I thought it was uninteresting. I resisted it because I could very much see getting hooked on it.
Yeah.
It looks like fun.
Yeah.
And the social aspect of it is very much appeals to me.
Yeah, I still I don't play anymore, but I still nightly talk to.
Yeah, you get like a big group of guys that you get on your vent server, right? Mm-hmm. That you just chat and a lot of great people.
Really,
hopefully, a few we can get on the show here, but
it's funny because for a while there, I mean, they're all back to playing now. I guess getting ready for that big thing coming up.
Yeah.
But for a while there, we were all talking on vent and like. One person playing the game,
and you have to pay for Warcraft to get that server, correct? Like, it's not just offered up free.
No. There's, it's not Warcraft; it's a different thing. And you do have to pay for the server.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys is paying for the server.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually know.
I was going to say, because you could just AIM chat, or you could do Skype, or like you certainly don't have to use Vent. I mean, there's a lot of other ways to
do
that.
Have to use Vent. Right. But they, I mean, because everybody could play, and they do, they're back to playing now, is the thing. So, and I feel so left out.
I actually, there are reasons that I can't play, it's the reason I don't play most video games. Like, I buy a fair amount of video games for a man on my meager income, but I don't play many of them because I'm worried I'm going to get sucked in and never do anything again. I am a recovering Civilization addict, In the mid-90s, I had a huge problem with Sid Meier's Civilization. I would be up. I would miss work. I would actually call into work because I was beating the Germans or Greeks or whoever.
I can't come in. I just made a truce with the Russians. We're moving.
I think they would have understood.
Actually, my boss at the time did understand.
I'm feeling German. They would have been, German.
Well, I did work for the government, so that they were cool with that. Right. No, my boss at the time actually played a lot, too, and we would trade, stories and stuff like that. But a couple of times he'd be like, you weren't sick, were you? You just went nuclear last night, didn't you? Yes. But and I see that in me, and I'm very concerned. It's why I still, right now, I'm ashamed to admit. And of course, a show can't go by without me mentioning Mark Darren and Monkey Island.
Of course.
But I actually haven't finished.
I just beat today his episode.
I saw you actually on Twitter talking about that, yeah. And I wish I played a few, maybe a quarter of it. And I love it. I'm enjoying it. But I don't know if I don't have the patience or what. I can't play video games anymore. It's sad.
It's sad.
I don't know how you guys find the time.
I'm sorry for you.
I don't know. It's just...
I focus on a game. Like right now, I'm actually strangely just playing a lot of for no reason really this baseball game. And I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's sports. I know you guys love sports too much, and then you just
if you
go
have
off
something interesting to say, by all means. I don't want to it's not a completely forbidden topic.
There's actually not really much interesting with the baseball game. So you play baseball. So that's about it. I mean, there's a nice little. It's kind of like an RPG in that I'm not actually playing as a baseball team. I'm playing as a guy on the team.
So
I created a guy, and he's a pitcher, and so I only play in his plays.
Baseball guys tend to be really into their stats and really into all the numbers and all that. Like if you made a game with sort of vaguely RPG-ish elements, I imagine that would really appeal to your average baseball fan.
Right. You have to set up hit points for the fastball, the control of the fastball. You have to assign points to that.
That sounds like the most boring thing I have ever heard. But well, really,
no,
I'm
no.
Not...
But you also it is. That part is boring, but.
It is boring.
No, but and again, I don't like. It's not like we've been accused of being anti-sports. It's not really that. And I talked about we should do a show one day where we're actually trying to understand sports. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be great to play it straight and to really try to talk about sports because we can't do it. I think it's funny that we just for us to talk knowledgeably about a subject we know nothing about. Mm-hmm. It's really, for me, it's not a passion hatred. It comes off that way sometimes, but it's more just, I'm not interested and I don't know anything about it. Fair enough. But there are a few guys who listen and are like, God, you guys, the sports thing, you got to let it go. And it's just not, like all sports must die. It's just like, it's like if my girlfriend wants to talk about fashion, I know that exists, but it's a thing in the world, but I don't know anything about it.
I don't like to listen to your girlfriend talking about fashion either.
That's all she ever talks about.
She's never not. Fashion.
It's true. She's actually out shopping right
and
now.
And that's all she says about fashion.
No, just the word fashion. That's it. It's ridiculous. Little ineffective fists. She's not.
Oh, I bought a new hat.
she's not here, so we can talk about her like this. But we're in reality, we're both quite. Scared,
and obviously, there's no way she'd be able to listen to this podcast.
No, of course not. That's impossible.
This one goes in the time capsule.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe.
But you say you're right now. You're playing baseball games, but in general, you say you focus on a specific game.
That's the key. I switch between there's two games, and usually one of them is just a simple game, a platformer thing, and then the other one is when I was playing Fallout 3, and I was playing it. Like you were saying, you were worried about with World of Warcraft. I was that with Fallout.
The same thing. Fallout.
I played through it I'm on my third. I played through it evil. I played through it good, and I'm playing through it very hard. This is very hard. I'm playing through it neutral.
That's
not easy to do.
That does not sound fun to me. Pick a side. But really, it's
tough because I'm actually good now on my neutral save, and it annoys me. I'm like, I got to do something evil real fast.
Got to go kick a dog or something. God. But
and then give him a candy bar.
Yeah, it's weird to me. And again, this is how I'm old and out of touch. But the way gaming works now, you go, you buy a game, you pay what, 50, 60 bucks for a game, right?
Right.
You play it for a week intensely, you beat it, and then the move now is you go trade it in on whatever next game you get.
Mm-hmm.
That's so strange to me. That's just, for me, you play it, and then you play it, and then you put it away, and then you play it again later, and then there is no winning.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, like I'm
kind of a hoarder, though. I still, it's so, I mean, I've done that.
Well, you specifically, I'm talking about the overall, the trend, the
definitely,
average
I just did a big trade, actually, right now with Amazon. I sent a bunch of games off and DVDs. So I know you're not.
And I see you guys, like there's you and there's a few other guys online, that Pete and Scott and a few other guys who are big into this stuff. And when a big game is coming out, you start gathering up your older games that you don't want anymore, so you can trade, so you don't have to go pay the full $60 or whatever.
See, now one thing is,
I just made a big trade to get Brutal Legend.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, pretty much the whole purpose of it.
Like, I always know I'm.
That's Tim Schafer's new game, by the way. By the time this goes up, it's already out.
The Witch. Oh yeah, yeah. Looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to watching someone play that, yeah.
I like Tim Schafer.
It actually might be good to watch somebody play. It's actually very funny.
No, I don't say that.
I played the demo.
I say that with no irony whatsoever. I say it with a combination of I suck at games, and again, I don't want to get sucked in. But no, Tim Schafer.
When I played at the demo, it's actually kind of a standard action game. It's more for the writing that I'm getting it.
Yeah, it's just for, like, that. The writing is the hook, you know? Like, you want to play something funny.
Well, and that's the guy that made, you know, took part in a lot of the classic point and clicks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lucas Adventure Game, and also Psychonauts, which is a great platformer.
I really want to play Psychonauts.
I rented it, and I hit me in the wrong mood, and I just couldn't even get through the tutorial. Yeah. I just was kind of confused and angry, and I'm pretty sure that was not the game's fault.
You just turn on, just like, no!
Yeah, exactly. But it's strange to me that this industry exists. It's so sort of disposable now. It's so buy a game, beat a game, trade a game. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't seem like there's a lot of permanence to it.
But I mean, the nice thing then is that if you've got people trading in games, then you can go and buy old games.
Oh yeah,
you know? And I mean, they don't keep them around for very long. You know, like,
no. I'm not. And again, it's not. It's just to me, it's weird seeing that evolution.
Mm.
Where, you know, back in my day. Now, back, like, at the height of, like, the point-and-click games, you would save up all your pennies or whatever, and you'd go buy Space Quest 2, and you'd play it for a month and get pissed off and call the 900 number for hints, and then you'd wait for Space Quest 3 to come
out. Well, and the other thing is that, like, games sort of feel like they're a lot easier to beat now.
Is that true, or is it just you guys are all better at video games now?
The thing is, like, it's not so much better. You can go online, and, like, if you're stuck, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to call the Nintendo hotline or whatever. You can just go on GameFAQs and look it up. We were talking about this the other day.
I think games are definitely easier now, though. It's definitely not just that we're better, because I've tried playing older games and I suck at
them. Yeah, like I've never beaten Mario 1.
Right.
Oh, see, I have.
I
beat nothing.
I remember specifically beating one of the, like, I think Mega Man 2, and then I've downloaded them on the Virtual Console, and I was weeping at the end.
See, I guess...
I don't know how...
My
hands don't work.
My memory hasn't, like, purged that information. I still remember all the old patterns, and when I pick up Mario 3, I can just go right through it and usually get close to the end. I can't completely beat it, but I can get to, like, the lava, you know, ship, you know, close.
Like, the big thing now with games is not that they're easier, per se, but they usually do very forgiving, save systems and checkpoints.
Yeah,
like you die, and then you're not that far from where you were. So,
well, I mean,
it's not like back in the day, there wasn't a battery on every game, so you either had to beat it, or you had to start from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Again. Like,
but
don't get games that don't save your progress
anymore,
you know?
But even going back a little before that, there was a time when winning a game just did not, there was no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just beat the high score back in the, you know, the arcade game days, or even the early NES days. Like,
you don't beat Donkey Kong.
Right.
Like,
you play it until
King of Kong showed you there's a kill screen. Yeah.
You play it until someone makes a documentary about
you. Yeah, exactly.
Incidentally, that is something I've been meaning to mention for a long time. Matt, if you haven't seen that.
No, I want to see it.
Oh, my God. I think, Jebson, you've seen that, right? You might have been one of the guys who told me to see it, actually. Yeah.
This is King of Kong.
King of Kong, yes. The story of little Billy Wiener and Steve the Loser. It's this guy who wants to get the high score on Donkey Kong, and it sounds so boring. But really, the way it plays is like one of those Christopher Guest mockumentaries. Like, these are ridiculous, over-the-top characters, only it's actually real.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Billy
how it was
Mitchell
sold.
Doesn't seem real.
No, he seems like a cartoon.
Is.
And some of the things he does.
I mean, he even wears the giant American flag tie. I mean, come on. Really?
Go ahead.
No, that was it.
That was
really was my comment.
I,
really? Her?
One of his first lines to the camera, like it's a documentary, so to the camera, he says something to the effect of, "I'm not God." And that pretty much sets the stage. That's
simple,
this guy.
It's a simple gamer's trick.
Exactly. This guy, it's so fantastic.
He isn't God. God sucks at Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Don't even get to the kill screen.
Could God make a Donkey Kong game so challenging that even he couldn't beat it?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Gorilla.
I keep getting killed by this stupid fire thing. Why is it even there?
What does God need with a Galaga ship?
Well, unfortunately, we're hitting our time cap here. We're going to have to start wrapping this up so we can call some other people with sucky mics. Mm. But, Jepson, good to have you on.
Hopefully they don't also have sucky phones like I do.
No, actually, yeah. you sound great. This is a lot better than I expected. Anything else you wanted to mention? You have an open forum here?
No, if you, I guess, it's not really a plug, but if you want to check out my Twitter, I guess.
Yeah, Jepson's on Twitter, Jepson, J-A-B-S-E-N. Very funny. And again, he's one of those guys where we're usually in sort of a conversation between a bunch of us, and the more of us you follow, the better. Like, if you follow me and not Matt, you're missing half the jokes. If you follow me and Matt and not Jepson, you're missing 7 or 8 other jokes. Yeah. I mean, we're a little clique, and we're not an exclusionary clique. We invite you, the listener, to join the clique.
Just follow who we
tell. Unless you're lame, okay? Then don't bother.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, again, thanks for being on. Matt, as always, thank you. And we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, ALGAR.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009. You remember how to steal a car, don't you? Just put your lips together and blow.